Hey guys! This week's episode is brought to you by Cardboard Safari, who turns slices of recycled cardboard into these really cool and modern wall hangings like deer heads and holiday wreaths. You can check them out at cardboardsafari.com/YHL and use the code YHL20 to get 20% off your first Cardboard Safari order.
I'm John.
And I'm Sherry.
We like home stuff.
We like talking.
And we like the occasional game show sound effect. So welcome to Young House Love Has a Podcast, where we have deep and not so deep conversations about DIY, design, and life at home.
Today we're giving you the scoop on our Rachel Ray Show appearance. How did it come to be? Why was it so crazy? And what's Rachel like in real life? Plus we'll share the not so perfect parts of spending our first night at the beach house.
Happy Halloween, everybody!
Boo!
Sherry and I have decked ourselves out in costume once again.
We're all dressed up, you guys. I wish you could see us.
Yep. We are sporting this year's hottest couples costume, the Property Brothers.
John wouldn't tell me what his idea was. I was going to say we're Hatchimals. We're in big eggs. And throughout the episode, we're going to peck our way out.
Right. Just kidding. We are in normal clothes.
Normal clothes. Sweatshirt.
Yes.
Black. All black.
We do not have the energy for anything special because we had the
craziest week of maybe our lives.
Yeah.
I'd say when our children were born, those were like kind of crazy weeks too.
I wouldn't say that, but it was OTT.
Over the top?
Over the top.
I was like, OPP? Yeah, you know me.
If you guys followed along on Instagram or Facebook at all, you have a sense of what happened, but we are going to break it all down on this episode because it was busy. We found ourselves at the beach house twice, and then all of a sudden in New York City filming an episode of The Rachel Ray Show.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. So let's rewind to the Sunday of our crazy week, which as scheduled, we were going to pack our moving truck to move a bunch of furniture to the beach house. It was finally time to move in.
Woohoo! And all this stuff had been filling our garage. We have a two-car garage. We only have one car and we couldn't park in our garage.
No, I have not parked in our garage since May.
Yeah, just think about that for a second.
Well, primarily it was the IKEA kitchen that we bought back in the spring during their sale and it got delivered around Memorial Day. And so it has been there in my parking space until now, but since like the floors were refinished, everything was painted, like the house was ready for the kitchen. It was basically the next big thing to do. And it was too large to fit in our car by far. Like there's
right. We also have the pink stove. We had a big glass shower panel. And even like 24 hours before packing the truck, I had convinced John that we should bring our sofa. Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah. I guess actually our crazy week started on Saturday when Sherry last minute was like, you know what? We should take Carl to the beach.
Carl's the sofa that we've had since the second house. So it's like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah. Did we get in 2011, I think.
Okay. And it's 2017. So six?
Yes.
Basically, you guys have heard this debate if you've listened to the podcast for a while, because I was saying to John, I really think when you have a beach house that's going to get sand and water and renters, you want a durable slip-covered sofa that you know will go the distance, and that's Carl. Like, he has been standing up amazingly well. He's washable. We love everything about this sofa. And if I'm going to buy a new sofa, I just felt like I wanted the new sofa in my house that I could enjoy, not worry about the new sofa and like renters and sand. So we relegated Carl to the beach house and then we got to shove him in the big moving truck too.
Yeah, but it meant Saturday we spent sofa shopping. So that was a busy day as well. We also currently don't have a sofa.
Yeah, the sofa's coming this weekend, which is very exciting. But anyway, so if that paints a picture of Sunday, we spent about 6 hours filling the truck because, you know, there's like that game of Tetris where you have to pack things in a way that they're not loose and rattling around and you have to get everything in there. Like there was a point where John was like, we've actually filled this truck to the brim.
I should have gotten a bigger one.
Yeah.
And so Monday was like the big moving day. We wake up and of course the forecast is rain.
And guess what? The storm is going to follow us the entire time.
Started in Richmond, just traveled with us like a dark cloud down the highway to Cape Charles.
You guys know how like Eeyore always has a cloud over him? That was us in this drive. Like people in Richmond were like, oh, you had such a beautiful day for moving because it started out rainy, but it cleared up. And we're like, nope, it just followed us to the shore.
Well, we did get a break in the rain as soon as we got there. And so we hustled to get everything out of the truck as quickly as we could while it was dry. And we actually managed to get everything out of the truck in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, so that's a thing that I've noticed every single time we move is it takes a lot longer when you're carefully placing things and wrapping them and making sure they're all stacked in a way that makes sense and you're trying to get as much in as possible. And when you're taking it out, none of that is to be considered. You just like run it into the house and drop it on the ground.
It's basically like a dump truck. It just like heaves itself backwards and everything spills out onto the road.
Well, we opened the back door and I expected things to fall on us and nothing did because John did an excellent job.
So far,
packing.
Nothing seems to be broken.
Yeah, did we broke one thing in our car moving it there. A mirror we broke like maybe 3 weeks ago moving moving it there, which 7 years bad luck on John because I have nothing to do with it.
Quick tip, don't travel with your mirrors laying flat.
Yeah, you have to lean them up. So
one bump and there it went, $40 down the drain.
Shattered, but it's okay. It wasn't a super, it wasn't like my Serena and Lily one that I would have cried over.
So we had about 4 hours in Cape Charles total before we had to go home. And so that did give us some time to kind of put things in place. Like I put the couch back together. You know, it wasn't perfect, but we had the beginnings of what felt like a moved in space.
Right. And so it was like hard to leave because I wanted to like assemble the bed and do all that. We had one bed we brought with us and move the furniture around and accessorize. We were actually working around the painters who were still like finishing up some last minute stuff.
Yeah, so we had this plan to come back on Friday because we were having the internet installed. We had to meet the guy there at the house. And so we knew this was going to give us like a few days back in Richmond where we could do some more shopping, you know, get some of the bedding we needed, some rugs maybe, and we could truck that there on Friday. Of course, spoiler, that got obliterated because we got this call from Rachel Ray on Tuesday.
Early in the morning Tuesday, I was like, today's going to be a great day. We're going to do all this stuff. And then we got this email and this phone call and our week was sent into a tailspin.
Yes.
On Wednesday, we were on a plane to New York City. Thursday, we were taping in front of a live audience. And then we got back home. We'll talk more about Rachel Ray in a second.
Yeah, we'll get into Rachel Ray a little bit later in the episode, but let's stick with the beach house for now.
Right. Well, we got back home Thursday night. Very, very late at night. We woke up on Friday and we only had a few hours before we were leaving. A
few hours. It was like 90 minutes.
Right. Basically. Before we were going to the beach house. So you guys know supermarket sweep, right? We went to Target with three carts and we supermarket sweeped the bedding aisle. Like I grabbed pillows. I grabbed mattress covers. I grabbed duvets and duvet covers. I just went nuts. And within, what do you say, 35 minutes, we had filled three carts and ran to the checkout, and then we had to fill the car with it.
Pillows take up a remarkable amount of space in a car.
Yeah, we had to leave two pillows behind, guys. Yep. So we packed the whole car up. We drove. We got to the beach house as we were getting a phone call from the guy installing the Wi-Fi saying, I'm here. Where are you guys? We're like, we're pulling up now.
So we got there Friday afternoon. He installed the Wi-Fi, and it sort of was like our weekend to start living in the house. Like we actually were going to spend the night on Friday.
Yeah, our very first night that we've ever spent there.
We didn't have our mattresses yet. So Friday night, we all slept on air mattresses.
Yep. It was like camping. We didn't have a kitchen, but we had working toilets. We had, so better than camping. We had a shower we could use. No shower curtain, but a shower. And it was like this momentous night, even though it wasn't the most comfortable. I mean, it could have definitely been plusher with real beds if we had waited. But it was kind of exciting at the same time to say, like, we are staking our claim and spending the night, even though we're on air mattresses.
Right. It made the house feel more finished because it was actually, like, occupiable for once.
Exactly.
I would liken it to when you first move into a new house, you know, like your first night whenever you've moved, where like things are not put away, there's boxes everywhere, things are still a little bit dusty in places, but like you start to feel like you're at home a little bit. The other reason we had to be there, in addition to getting the internet installed, was that we were having the mattresses delivered. We tried to get them on Friday, but because Cape Charles is like, you know, a little bit remote, it's across this like 20-mile bridge on the other side of the Chesapeake Bay from mainland Virginia. So you have to kind of take what you can get in terms of deliveries. And the window we got for our mattress delivery was between 6 and 8 a.m. on Saturday morning.
So we're like, okay, that'll probably be like 7, right? It's in the middle. So when they called us, they said, no, you're the first delivery. It will be at 6.
They're like, well, it's not too bad because we don't have any blinds up. So it's going to be...
We're all going to be up with the sun anyway. But I said, can you just do me a favor and give us a 10-minute call ahead just so that we're decent and we've prepared the children and like there's not just like someone at the house in the dark, you know?
Spoiler, there was just someone at the house in the dark at 6 a.m.
They got one number wrong on our phone number. So John and I are dead asleep. Like from a REM sleep, I sat straight up and said, someone's knocking at the door. And John answered the door in his underwear. They were boxers, but still.
You know, those thong boxers.
No, they were not. They were just regular boxers.
They're like baggy around the leg, but really tight in the back.
They're like Japs boxers. They're like a special brand. Anyway.
Just kidding. They're normal boxers.
Normal boxers and a t-shirt. So I'm sure it just looked like shorts and a shirt.
I think I looked pretty disheveled. I think he knew what was going on when
he
answered the
door. But he said, I'm so sorry. I tried to call, but I kept getting a busy signal. The number is blah, 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 blah. And John's like, nope, that's actually
a
digital.
It's a 9, not an 8. I feel like this is the beginning of kind of our new stage at the beach house where like most of the contractor work is done. Like the big stuff is checked off for the most part. And now we have this like really long list of like little things that don't make sense to hire out. So it's going to be us kind of like chipping away at them over our visits, like whether it's just for an afternoon or if we actually spend like the night or two nights over a weekend. So I feel like it's the beginning of what might be kind of a slow process from here on out.
My theory is that like when you look at the entire timeline of a year, we're very, very far. Like I would consider us at like 90% or so. But I always think the last 10% of any project is the hardest. It's where you're like, oh, everything's finished except I need blinds and I need a rug and I need this random latch to make the door close. Or like, oh, I didn't get the filter for the HVAC. Like there's all these little things you have to do. And in isolation, they seem tiny. But in the real world of shopping, it's literally like if I write a list, I have 67 things I need to get at Target and Home Depot. There's like all these little things you have to do.
And they're all made more difficult by the fact that we don't live there full time. And because it's a little bit of a small, like remote town, like there is not a Target or a Home Goods or a Home Depot just down the street. Like they're all like an hour away with like a $20 toll in the middle.
Yeah, we're like, nope, we're not leaving this house because it's $20 to get off the little peninsula. So we're going to have to bring it with us or bring it with us next time.
So like this trip, we got done like hanging the front decals for the house number. Like we trimmed down a door. We like added door stops and arranged furniture. And like that was it for the most part.
I think it's going to feel really finished in some places. Like the bathrooms are so easy. You hang a shower curtain.
If you remember your shower curtain hooks, which we forgot.
Right. We brought the curtains, the liners, and the rods, but we did not bring the hooks. So we couldn't hang them, which is so frustrating.
I swear, this is going to be the story of our life for the next few months.
It's going to be like, we brought everything except that one thing that we really needed to make it happen. So we're trying to be really organized. We actually started a doc. We use Google Docs so we can share them. And we made this full itemized list of what we need to buy, what we need to bring, what we are still missing. Like people are saying, when are you going to have renters? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you can't rent it. You wouldn't sleep. No. I have mattresses, but like we realized we forgot to get sheets for one of the beds.
Yep.
We couldn't fit the pillows for one of the beds.
Yeah,
we don't have a kitchen.
It'll be rentable in like 2022.
No, stop. I think by spring, but you know, I always throw out a date and then John laughs at me and then he's
you
guys, right.
You can't see my eye roll over here. So this week's little quiz actually kind of is appropriate for what we were just talking about, the beach house. I found this article on apartment therapy entitled The Top 3 Hardest to Assemble Pieces of IKEA Furniture.
Ooh, what are they? Well, can it be cabinets or it has to be furniture?
I'll say spoiler, it's not the kitchen. I know we have a kitchen coming up.
Well, that's comforting.
Yeah, exactly. Phew. So I figured rather than have you just take a stab in the dark at random pieces of IKEA furniture.
I'd be like, Dick Dorp, Knack Nork.
You got them all.
Reynarp.
I was going to give you a clue about it.
Uh-huh.
Because coincidentally, all three are the same type of furniture piece. So I was going to let you guess the type of furniture piece that is the hardest to assemble.
I mean, the bookcases we've done are not that hard, but I can't imagine chairs are so... Well, our sofa did take a long time, but it was because it had slip covers.
While you ponder a little bit, I'm just going to explain sort of the methodology here for apartment therapy's very scientific study. I guess they went onto the IKEA subreddit where someone had posed this question.
Oh my gosh, is it those little boxes? You know how everyone hates assembling little boxes?
I didn't think about it. I don't remember where they were like... some storage box like made out of cardboard that we bought once.
But you had like grommets and and I'm like, I know you like to flat pack everything, but can you just give a box to me as a box?
Exactly. That was like, it should not be this complicated for this little thing.
Build your own shoebox. Can you just give me a shoebox? It's recyclable.
So it was not that. Do you want another clue?
I need another clue.
I was complaining about it recently.
Oh, the beds. Yes. Guys, it's the beds. They have these little holes that your fingers are not quite small enough. And I have tiny little ant hands. And I cannot get my little fingers in there. What are you supposed to use?
Well, you're supposed to use an Allen wrench, but it's just so tight. We were putting together our Edlund bed that we have from our second house.
Ed the bed, for those who read the blog.
It was only 4 screws, but it took me forever because there was like no space to turn it. And that was sort of the consensus on this thread. But the specific pieces that apartment therapy listed were any bunk bed, specifically the Stuva bunk bed.
I know that one. I think it's the wood one.
Yeah, they said just because of the size of them and the fact that they have to be really secure and like secure to the wall, they take a long time. Also, the Brimness storage bed. The Brims.
Oh, that has drawers under it.
Yeah, they said anything with storage because the drawers sometimes take a lot of care. One person said that was even more brutal than an IKEA kitchen.
Whoa.
And the last one was the Trisol.
What is the Trisol? Is it metal?
Yeah, it's kind of wood and metal. I think it kind of has like big wood slats for the headboard. It was interesting in the comments on Apartment Therapy because a lot of people were saying like, I actually really enjoy putting together IKEA furniture.
That's funny.
Which I think
it's
I do.
It's meditative. Well, when you get into the rhythm, like that's what I'm imagining in my happy place, the putting the kitchen together, we'll get into this rhythm and we'll almost be like assembly line style and you'll be doing the boxes and I'll be screwing on the drawers and I'll be screwing on the doors and we'll just like rock and roll right through it. But I do realize that if something deviates, you could put all the screws in the wrong spot because you're like working under that meditative, repetitive state. And then you realize like, oh no, this drawer is wider than that drawer and I just put all the notches in the wrong spot.
Yeah, like one of my favorite things to do when we're assembling any furniture, IKEA or otherwise, is if you have multiple of something, do them all together. So like do step one of all of them because you're just kind of in that mode. But it means if you mess something up, you've like done two or three like that.
You're like, oh, all of them are upside down. Awesome.
Right, exactly. So there is a flaw in my system, but I find I work faster that way. I will put a link to this article from Apartment Therapy in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast so you can see pictures of these three hard to assemble beds. You can also weigh in on what your worst piece of IKEA furniture is. Again, I think mine will go down as the box. Okay, but now let's dive into Rachel Ray because that was a crazy little whirlwind in the middle of our week of moving.
It was like, surprise, you're going to New York.
So Tuesday morning, out of the blue, we just got this email from a producer at Rachel Ray. We have no clue how they found us. Like, it's not like we have an agent who like pitched it. Like, we don't have an agent at all.
Right, we didn't email them or anything. It was like, hey, I found your website and I need to ask you something. It's urgent, call me back. And she just was trying to like feel us out for maybe a segment we could do based around DIY. And that was as far as she had thought. Like when she reached out to us, she wasn't like, I want you to do X, Y, and Z. She was like, hey, are you guys available tomorrow?
Right.
That was the first question.
And so thus started a process that morning and into the afternoon of kind of, I guess, vetting us.
We were not invited on the show right away.
No.
They talked to me on the phone. Then they talked to John on the phone.
Yeah, make sure that I could string a sentence together.
Did we fool them? Right. They basically were like, hey, send us links on your blog to projects you've done and like makeovers you've done. And we'll figure out what we think would like make sense for TV. And this entire time, we did not have any idea that they were flying us out. I mean, they asked if we were available, but I thought it might be like to Skype or to make a video and send it to them. And at some point it switched over later in the afternoon and it was like,
can you be on a plane tomorrow? Which sent us in a couple different tailspins. One is like figuring out what we're going to do on the show, but also like, how are we going to cover childcare and like all the other work we had to do this week? Like moving the schedule around turned out to be a really big lift on our end.
I think just because it was 24 hours notice, even with like 4 days, you can figure that out.
Yeah.
But like if you're going to be on a plane that time the next afternoon, you literally have 24 hours to text like every person you know. But we finally got it to a place where we knew where everyone was going to be and everyone had talked to everyone else because there were a few handoffs of different relatives and sitters.
It required three different relatives.
Right.
But exactly. We got it done. Then it was like, okay, we got to get ready for the show because one of the things they wanted us to do was film a whole video tour of our house. That's not a problem. We do that all the time. But it was like, 4 or 5 o'clock that evening? And so like the light's going down.
And you guys know John's a light diva.
Yeah.
See previous episodes. So He's like, the sun is setting. We're getting blue light through the windows, but I have to turn on the lights in the room, which is yellow.
Well, just like the house doesn't look its prettiest on camera. When you have to use artificial lighting and some of the rooms get really dark. But they were like, no, we need this video tonight so we can edit it tomorrow.
And you can be on a plane tomorrow. Like This was all happening very quickly.
So like for maybe 2 or 3 hours, we scrambled to clean the house, record all these videos. We basically did like one, maybe two takes of everything. Not really totally clear on how it was going to be used.
Right. It was like, hey, this is going to be on national TV. All right, we'll give each one 5 minutes.
Right.
Like,
just break out your iPhone. I didn't even have time to shower.
Like, right. It was what it was.
My hair is a mess, guys.
I think you look handsome.
Just ignore all the cowlicks because that was hat head on Rachel Ray.
But I thought, it looked fine. John, who's the lighting diva, was like, it could have been better.
I was like, oh, geez. The circumstances of this were not ideal. But anyways, we got it done Wednesday morning, got the kids off to school, and then we had to go shop because I think it was either late Tuesday or early Wednesday they finally told us what we're going to be doing on set. They wanted us to demo two projects, and out of all the things that we had sent them, they selected installing a stair runner, you know, like we have here in our house, and also building a headboard, like an upholstered headboard. So, you know, fairly straightforward projects that you can demonstrate quickly, because these segments, you have like zero time.
Yeah, you have like 3 sentences per project. So, you know, as people who write 8,000 word posts, this is a change for us.
Yes, this is a big challenge. And so we had to go out and like buy the fabric for the headboard, and we had to go track down a runner because we wanted to try to use the same runner that we used in our house because we were familiar with the material. We wanted everything to go as smoothly as possible, but they wanted something more colorful. So like we called up Dash and Albert and was like, hey, can you send this rug over the next morning? We did that shopping. We also had to send them a list of materials they needed to get in New York. Like for the headboard, they had to cut a piece of plywood. So we had to tell them like the size and everything. And by like 4 o'clock on Wednesday, we were on a plane to New York.
And then I started to get nervous.
See, I feel like I didn't have any time to get nervous about being on television because I was nervous about all the logistics going
right.
on.
Right. The night before, I was very nervous, like, oh, we need to make sure they have a Sharpie because part of the tip for installing the stair runner is color the staples, the color of the runner, so they blend in with the Sharpie. So like for ours at home, we used black, but this stair runner was blue, and would they have the right blue? So you're right. We were like wrapped up in the minutiae of the projects at first. Then when I saw Rachel on the set, I was like, oh gosh, and we're also going to be on TV with Rachel Ray.
So Thursday morning, they asked us to come to the studio early. They film 2 to 3 shows a day because I guess they have 5 days of shows every week. And so it doesn't make sense to spread them out. So they try to condense them. So they're really busy. They're running around. We were being filmed for the last show of the afternoon,
which was the third show. It was a triple show day. So like while we were there, Gabrielle Union was there and she was giving her book away. And that was Monday's show. But our show aired on a Friday. And there also was Carlton from
Alfonso
from
Ribeiro.
Yeah, he was there. And Al Roker was arriving. We didn't see him, but we saw his bodyguard, which was very, there were bodyguards in the hallway, guys, just like big, amazing green rooms with fireplaces. You know, they called them the lodge. They were like really, really fancy things for the fancy people.
I would say you're describing their green rooms.
Right. We were in like a little room that was about the size of the headboard we were trying to upholster in it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they had to get us there early, is because we had to prep all the things for our taping later. So like in this tiny green room on like a folding table that we eventually got rid of because it was in the way, we're stapling batting to this piece of plywood and trying to get the like fabric ironed and smoothed. It was super stressful.
It felt like it was one of those, like, if I was at home with no pressure, I could probably do it faster.
Oh, it'd be the most chill thing in the world.
Yeah, like, I told my friend we were doing a headboard and stairs, and she's like, oh my gosh, you could do that in your sleep. And I completely agree, but given the, like, do they have the right Sharpie? Do we have enough space to do it? And also the pressure of, like, okay, then we're going to take you backstage, and you have to do the runner between commercials, because you can't staple while they're taping. It was like American Gladiator, where you feel like someone is, like, firing Nerf arrows at you as you like dodge obstacles, because it was like, don't just upholster the stairs, upholster them while the audience is clapping or laughing or on break. But it was like thrilling too. I don't want to sound like we're complaining. It was really fun.
And it's also this added layer where, again, these are projects that you can do yourself just fine. And you might have a hiccup here and there, but it's really not a big deal. But then when you're trying to think about, okay, how do I communicate this project in like 30 to 60 seconds on television where I can't have anything mess up. So like, you know, you're sweating over the littlest things, like, is the staple gun gonna misfire?
Right.
And if it does, what do I do?
Right. You're still wrapped up in the minutiae of it. And also there's funny things, like they wanted us to do the first few stairs and demonstrate finishing up the bottom stairs. And then we got backstage and we realized, I'm going to literally be laying on my belly, stapling the bottom step on TV. Like, it's not a graceful pose.
They're like, do all this, but make sure you keep your face to camera.
Right. They said, like, don't put your back to the camera. I was like,
I can't staple, like, behind my back.
So we did as well as we could, and it ended up, I think we fired, like, 2 staples on the whole show. We did 1 staple into the runner, and then it was, like, moving on to the headboard, and we did 1 staple into the batting of the headboard, and it was like, ta-da, here's the finished headboard.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, it was such a blur to me because you have all these things in your head you want to say and you want to try to communicate the idea, but they basically say, like, you have 5 minutes for this entire segment, and that includes like the introduction, some banter, this video package they created,
and then 2 projects to demonstrate. And we didn't really even remember what we said. Like, at one point in the car, and we were in like the taxi on the way back to the airport, I said to John, When I said that one line, I think I wasn't looking at Rachel. I think I was looking at the audience. And John was like, well, as long as you were looking into the right camera. And I'm like, I wasn't looking at a camera. I was like staring off into space. So we don't really know what it's going to look like. We're recording this before we've seen it. Yeah, I was going to say,
clarify, we have not seen it yet because it hasn't aired by the right. time we're recording this.
By the time this comes out, we will have seen it. And apologies if it was terrible. We were freaked out. And this goes back to last episode. Remember how I said that the idea of cameras following us around releases the Kraken of sweat?
Yeah.
The Kraken was released in New York, you guys.
Well, a lot of people, when we got home, our family was like, oh, what was it like hanging out with Rachel? Like, was she so nice?
Because we were there, like, how long? 10 to 5. How many hours is that?
Like seven hours.
Yeah. You know how much time we spent with Rachel?
The 5 minutes you saw on TV.
Right. Like, you don't just hang out. No. She doesn't visit your green room.
Oh, she's filming 3 freaking shows. Like, she is a busy lady. So.
Yeah, Julianne Moore was on our episode. We didn't see her, but
she wasn't in studio that day.
There was lots going on, and we were, like, not important.
No, I think we were, like, the lowest rung on that ladder that day. And so we basically got carted out there when it was, well, not carted, it wasn't like we were on a dolly.
We walked out. Yeah. I don't remember that, though. It's about the time I blacked out was walking on the stage. Because actually the guys who did the set stuff with us, like the guys who hung the headboard on the fake wall for us and the guys who rolled out the stairs, we spent a lot of time with the set guys because we were backstage building with them.
They are the unsung heroes of daytime television.
They really are. And they were so friendly and so nice. That's like who we bonded with on the show.
Well, we spent a lot of time with them. But like Rachel, like we went and stood next to her while they were playing the video. We like kind of said hi, but she was like, I'm watching the video because I haven't seen this yet.
We're like, oh, sorry.
Right. And then, you know, she said hello on camera. We did the whole DIY thing. She said goodbye, thanks for coming. They shut off the camera, snapped one official studio photo of her next to us, and then she was off.
Like, she was gone. Like we blinked our eyes to say thank you, and there was no Rachel within 100 feet of us.
Well, because she had to go off to do her next segment. She was cooking something right after that. So like, I think she has so much to do and like so many marks to hit that like she has to trim out all the
pleasantries.
Excess.
Yeah. Like, she was very nice in the segment though. She seemed legitimately excited. She said, come back anytime, which we're going to take her
just
up on.
more notice, Rachel.
No, I think everything was great because if we had more time, we would have obsessed over it more.
That's true.
Like I kind of like that it was done and finished and then we were like, boom, back at the beach house as if it never happened. Like by the end of the weekend, I was like, was that a dream? Did that really happen?
Right.
But there is one funny story actually. After the camera turns off, she like put her arm around my waist and got really close to me. And I was like, is Rachel Frey hugging me? Like, I didn't know. And then I looked over at her to say like, thanks, that was great. And she was staring straight ahead. And I realized, oh, we're posing for the studio photo. So like, I legitimately thought we were going to have this moment and it was all business.
No. The funny thing is, and we'll put this picture in the show notes, like they take an official photo, like one of the people on set, like you don't get to go like get your camera out and take a selfie.
Right.
So they take this photo and they send it to you afterwards. And we got it. It is hilarious because poor Rachel, you can just see the exhaustion of like it being her third show and having been on and like chatting with people all day because she looks like she hates us.
My friend was like, did you pinch her? Like, why does she have that face? And I'm like, and then my other friend was like, oh, you must have shared that picture because you look the best in that one, but Rachel looks bad. I'm like, no, they gave us one picture.
Yeah, that's the only photo we got.
That was it. And the bigger the smile, the more nervous. So I have a giant smile. John is like a half smile. And Rachel has like a fine expression, but it's not a smile.
Rachel like smelled something bad.
No. And she was like so nice. That's why I don't want this to sound like she was rude to us. She was so friendly. I just think it's a long day. She was sipping chamomile tea because she wasn't feeling well. I could only imagine having to do 3 shows and be on all the time when you're not feeling well.
I was exhausted from having been on camera for like all of 3 minutes. So I can't imagine having done that for probably 4 or 5 hours all day and having done it the day before.
And like, the day before.
I have to give her so much credit for that job because it looks really hard.
And what were they celebrating? Like one show they were recording while we were there was their 2000th episode. Which like think about that, guys. That's insane. No,
we are on episode 70.
And we feel like grandparents.
Right, exactly. I don't have to like have outfit changes for this.
There's no makeup. Although guys, the makeup girl did my makeup so pretty and I loved it. And then I came home and exploded with pimples. Like I went from the prettiest I've ever looked to the worst I've ever looked in a very short period of time.
So we will put a link in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast to the Rachel Ray website if they have a clip up of this. We're not sure if they're going to put it on her website yet or not. They do it with some clips, not for others. If not, hopefully you guys caught it when it aired last week. Or if it was terrible, hopefully you missed it.
Hopefully no one saw it. We were as bad as I remember.
But the show notes will have that great picture of us and our BFF.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a really long story. So let's take our quick break and then we will come back to share what we're digging. I've got a Halloween themed one.
Spooky. This week's episode is brought to you by Cardboard Safari. They make these really cool modern animal wall hangings out of slices of cardboard and even wood.
I think one of the cool parts about the materials they use, you know, brown or white cardboard or even like birch or bamboo, is that you can color, paint, or decorate them in whatever way you want.
Yeah, although I'll personally say that I love the crisp white cardboard and I also love some of the raw wood tones. They just feel really natural and they can slip in anywhere.
Well, Chris Jesse, the founder of Cardboard Safari, was telling us about some of the cool customizations they've seen in their products. Do you guys get lots of cool pictures and stories back from people about how they've sort of hacked your designs?
We do. There's a Native American artist, Leah Yellowbird, who takes the individual profiles and paints them with a series of very, very tiny dots. And there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dots that she puts onto the different profiles. And then when you put it together, you see there's an overall pattern to it. And it's just amazing.
Guys, I Googled Leah Yellowbird after our call with Chris, and it is so cool what she does.
Yeah, words cannot describe it. We'll put a picture in the show notes so you can see her work. It is amazing.
And don't forget to check out cardboardsafari.com/YHL to shop for your own animal friends. They've got bears, lions, giraffes, even a T-Rex.
They've also got holiday stuff too, like holly wreaths and pinecone ornaments. You can go and get 20% off your first order with the code YHL20. Again, that's at cardboardsafari.com/YHL.
Well, since Halloween is this week, my We're Digging is one of my favorite things about Halloween in the blog world. So I would say Sherry and I are kind of like medium to low on the Halloween decorations.
Yeah, we like it. We just don't have like 7 Tupperwares full of Halloween stuff in the attic.
Right, exactly.
That's Christmas.
I'm conserving my energy for December.
Right.
But we have a blogger friend who goes all out, and I love every year checking out her decor.
Yes.
Her name is Stephanie, and she blogs at Brooklyn Limestone. If you guys aren't familiar with her blog, go check it out. She lives in Brooklyn, as you guessed, in a limestone, as you probably guessed.
You know, a brownstone. Hers is a limestone, and it's beautiful.
Right. But she just goes nuts for Halloween and does these elaborate displays on her front porch each year.
And not only the front porch, they like extend up the house.
Oh, yeah.
Things climb the wall. They're out of the second story windows. And it's like a spectacle. Like neighbors come and compliment her like dedication to the holiday.
Well, and I really like them because she does a different theme every year. So it's not like every year she's breaking out the same skeletons and spiders or whatever.
Right.
And they are very conceptual.
They're creative. Yeah.
This year, her theme is the Eternal Rest Motel.
It's like Bates Motel, you guys. It has like keys with like creepy blood on the, you know, like hotel keys hanging from a hook board, but they're bloody and spider webbed.
So if you go to her blog, I'll put some of these links in the show notes at younghouselove.com/podcast so you can see this year's and years past, because some of them are really spooky, like the Eternal Rest Motel, kind of the dead motel. Last year was the Brooklyn Witch Supply Company.
So cute.
So it had like this witch theme, but also kind of like
like apothecary feeling.
Right, exactly.
Very cool. It was like pharmacy, witch pharmacy.
Yeah. The year before in 2015, she did Twisted Charlotte's Web. So she had this
giant spider.
And like a big web that are on her like upper windows. But then she also had, this is where it got kind of dark, like kind of like a butcher shop theme. Like
it was like, you know, the cut.
Like the meat cuts of a.
Yes. Yeah. On like a board where it says like rump and hindquarters.
But it said like some pig, you know, like Charlotte's Web. But then some of them are kind of goofy. Like she did a Ghostbusters theme one. She did a Sharknado.
Sharknado was really funny.
1 year. It looks like she's has them going back on her blog from 2017 all the way back to 2008. So
isn't
there's
that
lots.
Amazing?
If you need like a heavy dose of Halloween decor fun, like this is the place to go.
And this week, what I'm digging has to do with a big box store that's killing it in something that big box stores don't always kill it in. And it's wall decor and art. We all know that there's like these ubiquitous things like IKEA prints that everybody might have, or you can buy like the
quote signs from Home Goods.
Right. The inspirational sayings, as our daughter calls them, encouragements. But lately, Target has been killing the game with art. Really big things that come framed that even the cost alone, if you punched, well, don't punch it because you'd break the glass. But if you removed the item from the frame and just bought it for the wood frame and the glass front, it's worth it. And they even have this great round mirror that I'm sure you all have seen by now. It's gold. But I'm highlighting four things that I love that they're doing right now. So one is that round gold mirror. You can see it in our beach house foyer. It's round. It has a thin gold frame. It's simple. It's lovely. And it's so affordable. It's $49. So you can see the picture of that in the show notes. There's also this beautiful painted big square framed canvas, and it has great colors like a light peach, a beautiful hunter green. It's sort of an abstract landscape painting, and the canvas itself is very shiny but has sort of like a painted texture. It's like thicker in some spots. I think it's beautiful, and you cannot beat it for the price. I think it's somewhere around $68.
Yeah, I think 69.
And it's huge. I mean, we're talking like maybe 35 by 35 yeah. inches with a wood frame. I'm debating getting another one and painting over it in different colors so I can have two wood framed large pieces of art on either side of the sofa.
Blasphemy. Painting over stock art, Sherry.
I mean, it's allowed. It's Target art. And they also have this beautiful picture that we hung in the back bedroom. It's like a photograph of a beach with little people dotting the surf. So it's very panned out wide, almost like a drone picture.
Yeah, like an overhead. Head.
It's beautiful. And the interesting thing they did there is it's not framed, but it's really glossy.
Well, I think it's mounted on glass.
Exactly.
Or acrylic.
I think it's a thick acrylic, but it looks like it's coated in this glossy bar coat with a picture under it. Trust me when I say that this looks very, very expensive, and it was very, very not.
I think it was also $69.
And then the very last thing I'm going to highlight is they sell these two packs of large wood framed blue and white, almost shibori print, if you know what I mean by that. And they're floated in the frame. So they're basically mounted so that they're like an inch off of the backboard, which is a very expensive treatment. Like, you easily could spend $200 on each frame just getting that treatment. Plus, you'd have to provide the art. And this two pack is like $70. So once again, you could take the art out and put something else in these frames.
Or you could punch it.
I could punch it just like to get bad luck because I like to break things like the mirror you broke in the car.
Oh, I see. We came back to that.
We came back to that. And it wasn't we broke. It was you broke. Thanks for listening to Young House Love Has a Podcast. And again, happy Halloween, everyone.
You want to know something really scary, Sherry?
What?
The fact that some people still think podcasts are like super complicated or too high tech for them. So if you know someone who's still afraid of podcasts, do us a favor, show them that it's not that hard, maybe even download an episode or two of your favorite shows.
And keep telling us what you do while you listen. Like BeckShep31 on Instagram, who listened while making a taco costume that her 2-year-old requested for Halloween.
I like this 2-year-old.
And don't forget to check out younghouselove.com/podcast for all the bonus links, photos, and info from this episode. Like those spooky front porches from Brooklyn Limestone.
And that hilarious photo of us with Rachel Ray.
It's really funny, you guys.
Later.
Bye. Ooh.
I'm really glad we hit record so that you could do that.
Halloween soundtrack. There's an evil crow. Caw, caw.
That crow is from Long Island.
He was a Jersey crow.
Caw.
La caw, la caw. He's French.